Verse 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. And as you turn there, just a quick note, please be praying this week for Lydia Howery. She is due a week from today, right? A week from yesterday. Okay, and as you can tell, she's very pregnant. And I think she's getting to the place where she does not want to be very pregnant anymore. She wants that kid out. And we're looking forward to this great day that is coming up. So please keep Lydia in prayer. If she happens not to be here next week playing the piano, you'll probably know why. And I'm sure she was kind of actually hoping not to be here next Sunday to play the piano, for you know why. She wants to be holding that little baby. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning with joy and rejoicing in our hearts because you are the King and Lord of all. We thank you, Lord, for your word that is so very clear in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are consistent, you are constant, and you are our Lord, Savior, and you are the one that baptizes us in the Holy Spirit and power. I pray, Lord, this morning that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord. Father, this is an important message. And I pray, Father, that you put a watchman at the door of my lips, that which comes forth would truly be from your word. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. The words of John the Baptist. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Yeah! The baptism of the Holy Spirit has been debated throughout the centuries as to whether it is relevant and scriptural for the day, other than during the time period of the book of Acts in the early church. There's no Christian faith that believes in the Bible says that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was not for those in the early church in the book of Acts. But many believe that that's where it stayed. The scriptures are clear both in the Old and New Testament that it is the gift of power from the Father dispensed by Jesus for the today's church. It is reserved for the believer to empower him or her for a life of service for God. It is the power of God revealed in and through the believer to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to bring deliverance to those who are in bondage, to initiate healing to the afflicted, and to set captives free. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, I believe, is for the church today. I believe the Bible is very, very clear about that. I do want to start this message out by saying the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a toy to be played with. It is not something that God gives to tickle your fancy and to cause you to feel very, very spiritual. It is a power. It is an empowerment of the Holy Spirit that God gives to the believer for those who really want it, seek it, and ask for it, for a life of service. It's not to titillate, but it is used to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is there to help expound upon the Word of God and to bring life to the written Word. Hallelujah. It's definitely spoken of in the Old Testament. If you will look with me in Isaiah chapter 28, I got a lot of scriptures to go through. I have a feeling I'm not going to get through this whole thing today, so it's probably going to be a two-part message. But in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12, Isaiah states this, "For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to his people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest, with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now when you're talking about stammering lips in another tongue, this is in reference to the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And Isaiah says here, to whom he said, this is the rest. This part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is bringing a rest upon God's people. An assurance in their heart. That God is real. I mean, the reality of God. You just can't experience the reality of God quite like you can when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. Anybody here ever get weary? Some of you not voting. But I dare say all of us at one point or another, we get weary. We just get weary. I get weary. But I find that when I get weary, that's when I need to press in to the power of God. Because it is not my power. My power, I mean, I may even be powered by ever-ready batteries that have power to spare. But I'll tell you right now, batteries still go empty. We got this new digital camera and we got batteries for it, you know, and the rechargeable ones. And I got eight of them. It takes four, so we have extra sets already in the camera, right? And last night, yesterday afternoon, we were at a gathering, and I'm taking pictures and all. And then there was this one picture I really wanted to take, and I turned the camera on, and I put it up. And you know that little screen you can see right there? So you can see the people right in the screen. And nobody ever, with digital cameras, look in the viewfinder. I don't even know why they put a viewfinder in it. Yeah, because everybody hold the camera out like that. You can tell a digital camera freak because he's got the camera out like this. You know? And all of a sudden, the screen went dead. And I missed the shot. Why? Because the batteries went dead. You know what I had to do? I had to open up the camera and take fresh batteries and put it in. Those fresh batteries had just come out of the charger. That's part of what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to the believer. It just charges you up with the power of God. And when you feel it starting to dwindle, you know what you do? You just press in. You press in, you get plugged into the battery charger, so to speak. You go back to the Lord in prayer. You get back into His Word. And He starts that to charge you back up again. Hallelujah. And yet the prophet Isaiah said here, yet they would not hear. There are those that just will not hear about the message of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They will not receive it. Turn with me to Joel chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2 is probably the best known Old Testament prophecy dealing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Joel chapter 2, just a couple of verses, verse 28 and 29. Joel says this, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Speaking of the last days, do you believe we're in the last days right now? I believe we're in the last days. I believe we need the power of God in this day and age. Old men shall dream dreams and young men shall see visions. Who here dreams dreams? Who here sees visions? Let me see the hands of those that see visions. All right, well that means you're young. So I'm in the dream state now. I'm not young anymore, I guess. I dream dreams, but I don't see visions very often. But this is Joel speaking of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the pouring out of God's power. Turn with me to Zechariah. That's just over a few pages. You go past Amos, Jonah, Micah, and Zechariah. Actually, to tell you, it's right on page 833 in my Bible. In Zechariah chapter 12, another prophetic word, verse 10 and 11. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Who is that? Jesus. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day, there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem like the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the plain of Megiddo. But I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Then they will look on me. This is talking about after he was pierced, that God was going to pour out his spirit upon his people. Ezekiel 39:29 says, "And I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel," says the Lord God. God is promising in the Old Testament, he promised he's going to pour out his spirit upon the church. And yet there are churches that say, "I don't want any of that. No, don't do that to me. That mess up my life. That's just going to screw everything up. I don't understand that. Don't give me something I don't understand." Who here understands God? Any takers? Anybody going to raise your hand and tell, "Yes, I understand God"? Good. But yet you asked him into your heart, right? You asked God, whom you do not understand, to come into your heart and be your Savior, as he is your Savior by the one who was nailed on the cross to shed his blood so that each and every one of us could be set free, could receive that gift. And yet, who understands all of this? We take it by what? By faith. Your word. I receive by faith. Your word says this is how salvation comes. I believe it. Do I understand it? I don't understand it. If it was up to me, if I was God, I would have made salvation a whole lot different. I'd make you work for it. I would. I'd make you work for it. I'd make you slave for it. I'd make you, have to just do every jot and tittle just exactly right. And if you don't, you're doomed. Guess what? We'd all be doomed. And yet there's beliefs out there that believe that. I don't understand salvation in the clarity that God understands it. But this I do understand. By his stripes I am healed. And by his blood I am cleansed. Hallelujah. And by the gift of the work of the cross of Calvary, I can receive Jesus Christ as my Lord, and I can be set free from the laws of sin and death. Dude, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If I can only just keep that understanding in my head and in my heart, I'll be a happy man. Hallelujah. Because the joy of the Lord is to be our strength. New Testament prophecy. Look with me to John chapter 1. This is not so much the preaching of the word this morning as just to teach and to examine the scriptures. John chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, 26 actually through 34. John said to them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptized. And the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Can you imagine me and John the Baptist standing there, and here comes Jesus. Just coming down in to be baptized in water. John's like, "Wow! Wow! What would you do if Jesus walked in here right now?" Wow! Wow! Guess what? He's here. By his Spirit. He is here by the Holy Spirit. "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I can't see John the Baptist standing there going, "The Lamb of God taking away the sins of thy world." I can see John the Baptist going, "Wow! This Jesus, the Lamb of God, is coming to take away the sins of the world! Look, everybody, that's the one that's been prophesied! That's the one that's coming! He's the one, and he's coming to me! And I'm not even worthy to loose his sandals! And yet, he's coming to me. This is he of whom I said, 'After he comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know him, but he who sent me was to baptize with water and said to me, 'Upon whom you see.'" Now, this is the prophetic word that was given to John the Baptist. upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him. This is He who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I came to baptize with water unto repentance. But Jesus is the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's the one. The one you see, the Spirit descending like a dove. You know what was happening? Jesus Christ Himself was being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And by gosh, you know, if God the Father felt that Jesus needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, by gosh, I think we do too. I don't know of anybody that's been able to even hold a candlestick to the power of Jesus Christ. And yet the Holy Spirit descended like a dove upon Him. And so we need too. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus is the Lamb of God, cleansing from sin unto salvation. But verse 33, in that prophetic word, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not, again I need to say, is not for the purpose of cleansing from sin, but for the purpose of empowering for service. Jesus received the baptism of the Holy Spirit here. It's also recorded in Matthew. And it's also interesting to note that there was not one single miracle that Jesus performed prior to Him receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Every miracle, in fact, the very first one that was recorded was when He turned water into wine. But that was after this. Now, some people may say, well, He was God in the flesh. He was performing miracles before. They just didn't write it down. Well, I don't have that to work with. I only have what God gave me to work with. And if this is the pattern God gave us to work with, this is the pattern we need to believe. Amen? As written. Otherwise, we get into the whole thing about trying to twist all these verses around to try and match our theology. Where our theology needs to be twisted and turned and made straight to match the Word of God. Hallelujah. Where was I? Where was I? Okay, yes. Now, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 18, we read it in Joel. Now let's read it in the book of Acts. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And so on. This is Peter, who is expounding upon Joel when they asked him, well, what on earth just happened up there in the upper room? And he came right back to this prophecy. This is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. That in those days, in those last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. My sons and daughters will prophesy. My young men will see visions and the old will dream dreams. And it doesn't matter whether you see visions in the Spirit or dream dreams in the Spirit. If it's from God, you just say, thank you, Jesus. You know, it's okay to grow old, by the way. I'm finding that out. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. I had one person tell me, he says, well, it sure beats the alternative. But then again, I looked at it and said, I'm not quite sure it does. Because I know what the alternative is with me. I'll be with Jesus. I can stop growing old in this body. That means I'm going to die. But then I'm going to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh. Is it better? Yeah, but there's still work to be done on this earth. Amen. Hallelujah. This is an Old Testament that was fulfilled in the New Testament, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, go with me to John chapter 20, because I want you to see that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one of the arguments about it is that the Holy Spirit, we get the Holy Spirit when we get saved. And I believe that. You believe that this morning? We gain the Holy Spirit when we get saved. When you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, He comes and dwells in your heart by His Spirit. But Yet Jesus here said, in verse 21 and 22, Jesus said to them, this is after he was crucified. This was after Jesus was raised from the dead. And he is with his believers. And it says here, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now this was not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe that at this point, in this juncture of spiritual time, if I can use that phrase, that these disciples had passed from Old Testament understanding of salvation to New Testament salvation. They had passed from Old Testament atonement to New Testament remission of sin. They passed from Old Testament law to New Testament grace at this point. This was where salvation really was initiated with those believers as they received the Holy Spirit that Jesus could not really impart to them to reside with them until the death, burial, and resurrection. And it was after this that Jesus taught about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look with me in Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he said here, behold, I send the promise of my Father. This is after he had said to the believers that he had breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Stay and tarry in Jerusalem. Now, I've breathed on you the Holy Spirit. You received the Holy Spirit. You've received the salvation. You've passed from the Old Testament law to New Testament grace, Old Testament way to the New Testament remission of sins. Aren't you glad for remission? You know what atonement was? Atonement was just covering over. Remission is that they're done away with. I mean, they're just obliterated. They're done away with. Aren't you glad your sins are done away with? Aren't you glad they're just not undercover?
Hallelujah.
I am. Hallelujah. I'm set free, man. I don't have those things weighing me down anymore. I may return to them every now and then. Anybody do that besides me? Please. I'm being real. I'm being honest. I sin. I fall short of the glory of God. I choose to sin from time to time. I shouldn't, but I do. We all do. Amen? But that's the beauty of grace. That's the beauty of salvation. That's the beauty of God's forgiveness. I can come to Him. I can confess my sin. He is faithful and just to forgive me of that sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So now I'm set free again. Unfortunately, from time to time, I become that pig that's wallowing in the mire and returns to its own garbage. But God has set me free. He has set me free. And I return to it less often and less often and less often. Why? Because the more I confess it, the more I come before Him, the freer I get, the less often I return. Isn't that neat? Isn't that great how God works? Be confident of this very thing. He has begun a good work in you. We'll complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. But here, In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus is telling his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem, to wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high, the promise of the Father, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look with me in Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, boy, it's humid today. My fingers are sticky and pages are sticking together. In Mark chapter 16, we should be very familiar to this, the Great Commission, verse 15. It says, and he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Here he's speaking again about speaking in tongues. And I'll tell you right now, in the book of Acts, the only place where it specifically talks about and initiates the baptism of the Holy Spirit several times, that's where the speaking in tongues comes into play, is through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe as Jesus is teaching here, by reference to the speaking in tongues, that he's making reference to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the what? The promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Jesus taught about this. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is Jesus himself teaching. He is teaching him. He himself is teaching that you wait for the promise of the Father. He's saying to his disciples, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, that you will receive power. Now, I'm not a power nut, okay? There's a lot of power freaks in this world that want to gain power for themselves. But this is a power that is used in the believer to glorify Jesus and to glorify Him alone. And it is something that is for everyone. He's speaking to His disciples here. But is Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is He the same? The same today as the one who spoke these words that many 2,000 or so years ago. Is it the same? Is His word yea and amen? Or is it only contained for that day? I believe that Jesus, when He speaks to His disciples, He's speaking to His disciples. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. Do you? Then I take when He's speaking to His disciples there, He's speaking to this disciple too. I'm His disciple. Are you? Where was I? Acts chapter 4. Remember John the Baptist's words in Matthew 3:11. I baptize you with water unto repentance. He will baptize you. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Then it happened. They obeyed Jesus. You know, it's good to obey Jesus. Jesus said, you go into the upper room and you wait, and you tarry. You wait for the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father will come. And you know what they did? They actually went to the upper room. And they actually waited. But while they waited, they didn't just sit around twiddling their thumbs. They waited in worship. They waited in the Word. And most importantly, they waited in unity. The Scripture says in verse 1, chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is not a fairy tale. This has nothing to do with Finding Nemo. This has nothing to do with whatever fantasy you may try to think of, any little kid story. This is real stuff. They were all in that one place, in one accord. And the Holy Spirit came upon them as a fire. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah! And you know something? They did not stay in that upper room. They didn't go, oh, hallelujah, oh, I'm getting the Holy Ghost goosebumps now. Oh, what a service we're having this morning. Oh, this is absolutely great. I don't want to leave this place. I want to stay right here where the anointing and where the power of God is. And it's just so sweet. And it's just so wonderful. And oh, don't let me leave. I want to just bask in this. You know what they did? They kicked the doors open of that place and they went out onto the street. And they started preaching the Word of God. Because they understood, Jesus Himself said that you will receive the promise of the Father and you will be for Me witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth. I will empower you for My service to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who don't have it. They didn't go, oh, what a wonder. We do that. We Christians, especially Americanized Christians, we get all hyped up with one wonderful message and a beautiful anointing of the worship service. And we walk out the door like nothing happened. We walk out the door unchanged. And that's not God's fault. That's our fault. Because we have this mentality of what goes on within the church is such a blessing. But this needs to be a training center. This needs to be a place where, yes, you can get empowered. But just like my digital camera, I have in the battery charger to get charged up. Then those batteries did absolutely no good staying in that charger. When my camera went dead, I had new batteries because they were already charged. They came from the charger. They don't do any good leaving them in the charger, do they? Little red lights can light up and say, oh, they're all charged. Oh, they're all right. Oh, they're all ready. You can even put your hand on. You know, they even feel warm because of the electricity that's flowing into them. They even feel warm. And I can leave them in there, and I can leave them in there, and I can leave them in there, and they do absolutely no good for the camera. And we can get empowered in the church, and we can get charged up in the service. And if we leave that charging in the building when we leave, we do God no good. Amen? The power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Himself said that I will empower you with the Holy Spirit when He comes upon you and that you will be witnesses for Me. Amen? Do not take your light and hide it under a basket. Now, Peter, who's the one that one of the those that came out, and all of the crowd that was standing around, they heard what was going on up there. I mean, there was a Holy Ghost revival happening in that upper room, man. I mean, they were speaking in tongues and praising God, and I imagine they were dancing all over the place. They were just having a hallelujah party, and they weren't quiet about it. Maybe when the Holy Spirit came through the window, He opened the window so everybody outside could hear what was going on inside. Just like we open the windows here. We don't open those for your comfort. We open those so that the neighbors can hear what goes on in here. Howdy, neighbor. We love you. And they came out. Peter came out. And they're all saying, all the people in Jerusalem going, what is this? They're coming out and they're speaking in all these tongues and languages that we know, but they don't know. What? Are they drunk? Yeah. What's going on? And Peter is the one who addressed them. Peter himself said, he said, this is what the prophet Joel had prophesied. In these last days, I will pour out, God will pour out His Spirit upon the flesh, and the sons and daughters will prophesy, and so on and so on. But Peter, there was a change that happened in Peter when he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was still Peter. But I want to go through just four quick changes, and I'm going to draw this part of the message to a close. We'll finish up next week. See, before the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Peter was a coward. He denied Jesus 3 times. Right when he could have intervened, he could have said something, Jesus prophesied to him. Before the cock crows, you will deny Me 3 times. I will never deny you. I won't deny you, Jesus. No way will I deny you. They take you to death, I will go with you. No, you will deny me 3 times before this night's over. And Peter did. But yet when Peter received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he came out and he stood in a crowd of thousands and preached one of the most short, dynamic sermons in the Bible. Because of the boldness of God that came upon him. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 came to living inside of Peter that said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who will believe, the Jew first and then the Gentile. Hallelujah. Peter was not cowardly anymore, but he was bold. Before the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he was a listener of the Word. After the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he was a proclaimer of the Word. Wasn't just listening, but he was speaking it forth. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Amen? Before he was a follower of Christ, after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Peter became a shepherd of souls. In that first sermon, it says 3,000 people came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that day. 3,000 that day on a sermon that took about 7 minutes. And the last thing about him, about Peter, is he witnessed Jesus performing miracles. But afterwards, Peter performed miracles. The Holy Spirit and the power of God that was within Peter. And you look throughout the book of Acts for yourself. I'm not going to take you there right now. But even this week, look in the book of Acts and look at the miracles that happened at the hands of Peter. I want to close this portion of the message out by saying, this is not a fairy tale. This is not a fairy tale. Many will say, baptism of the Holy Spirit, that was for the birthing of the church. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, that was for that day because they really needed it then. As if we don't need the power of God today. Look at what's going on in our society. If you're serious about the power of God, society's changed. I believe that. Why? Because it happened in this Bible. And we look at our society today, and I have to ask this question. Is the church truly affecting society, or is society affecting the church? I read in the newspapers about how the church is allowing homosexual priests, allowing gay men into the ministry, allowing all of this stuff. Church, alternative lifestyles, it's okay. We'll allow that. Come on in. Doesn't matter. Jesus loves everybody, therefore. And he died for everybody, therefore everybody's saved. So you do what you want. You can live as you want to live. Come on to church, we'll just love you. I'm sorry, that's an abhorrence to the Word of God. What has happened is that the ways of this world and society itself has infiltrated and infected the church. When we are to infiltrate and heal our society. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will cleanse their land. Our land is not cleansed because the God's people are not rising up to the power of God. And allow the power of God to affect their lives so that we can affect this society. When they were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit in that upper room, they didn't stay there. They allowed the power of God to light them up like a Christmas tree. And then they took the power of God and they took it out where it could be effective. They didn't bottle it up and they didn't sell it. They took it out and gave it away. Love ain't nothing till you give it away. And the power of God does nothing staying in the battery charger. This place should be a battery charger. But the batteries in the charger do absolutely no good until they are plugged into this world and affect this world. You know, I took those freshly charged batteries and I took that dead camera and I opened that up and I put those four batteries in that dead camera. I closed it up and I pushed a button. Guess what happened? Miracle! It turned on! It changed! It transformed! It worked! And so does the power of God in this society. It works if God's people will take it out of the battery charger, out of the church, and bring it into the world. You know, it just seems like the longer I spend in the Word of God and in all the different areas that I've preached and taught in through the years, it still comes down to this. Take it out of here and bring it to those who are dying. God wants to set you free. And God wants to empower you with a real power. Not a fantasy. It's real stuff. And He wants to light you up like a Christmas tree. Yeah, He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you with His power. That you can have that closeness and that intimacy with Him that you just cannot seem to experience any other way. And yes, it's okay to have the Holy Ghost goosebumps. It's okay to get excited. You know, it really is okay to get excited about Jesus. You know that? It really is okay. It's all right. Look what He's done for you. But don't leave it here when you leave. I want to get a sign. Anybody ever finds the bumper sticker or whatever? It says, Jay Sabine, he has it on the lintel of his house going out. It says right on it, you are now entering the mission field. The mission field is not Africa. The mission field is not Poland. The mission field is not Chicago. The mission field begins right where you live. And if you can't perform, you cannot work within the ministry of missions right where you are at, you will never be successful out on the, quote, mission field, wherever that is. You won't be successful. If you're ashamed of the gospel here, you will be there. The power of the Holy Spirit breaks that shame and puts it where it belongs, under our feet. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this morning with joy in our hearts that Jesus, You said that You were going to go home and be with the Father, but You would not leave us as orphans, but You would send the Holy Spirit. Father, I believe that next week You want me to finish this out because there's so much that has to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That it goes far beyond our understanding. It is something that we cannot understand. We need to just receive by faith. Father, I pray for all of us here. There are those here that have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. That they will take this message this morning and take the message of next week. And allow Your word to teach their heart, to open up their understanding. And Lord, that You will increase our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and that by the word of God. Faith to believe and faith to receive. I thank You for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.